and enjoy. Before we get started, did everyone remember to contact their mother and say Happy Mother's Day? Yeah? Did anybody not, just by a show of hands? Oh, wow, there's some honest people here today. This is great. She's not a morning. He knows his mother. Don't call in the morning. I sent mine Facebook in the morning because I know she's not a morning person. Don't call mom before noon. It's just a rule. You got to know your mother. It's just a rule. So what is a mother? Who is a mother? Now, sometimes people don't show up to church on this day. I'm a guy, and they're just going to talk to mothers anyway, or I don't have kids, so I'm not really a mother anyway, so I'm not going to show up, or I'm just a kid, I'm not going to show up because I'm not a mother. And so hopefully today's message isn't just directed towards mothers, although it's going to be a lot about mothers. But there's a lot of mothers out there that need some support and some help. And we should be the people bringing that to them. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about some experiences that mothers have today, and some experiences looking at some characters in the Bible, some experiences they had. Because mothers don't have a real easy go of it in life. They have a lot of hardship they face. They have a lot of difficult decisions to make. So they have a lot of difficult situations to navigate through. And we should be coming alongside of them, loving them, caring for them, helping to meet their needs, being a strength and a support system for them. But I looked up in several different dictionaries this week the term mother. What does the dictionary say about it? What does the world say about it? And the first definition I looked at was someone giving care to a child. Could you be someone? Could I be someone? Yeah, because a little bit later I looked at a definition and it said the term mother as an action, as in mothering, is not sex specific. Meaning you do not have to be a woman to give mothering care to a child. So this part's for you, fellas. Okay? We can give mothering care, said mothering, to give nurture, to care for, to instruct, to train, to discipline, to develop a young child. So each of us should have a little bit of mothering instinct inside of us, looking at the small children around us and helping to develop and create the person God has created them to be within them. So we all have a little bit of mothering in us that we should be providing for those around of us. Because you and I were created in the image and likeness of God. And if He made both men and women, then we both share parts of God and express them to those around us. So it's okay, we can call us a little girly if you want to, but I'm just mothering my kids. Right now she has a skinned knee, she needs somebody to hold her and tell her it's going to be okay, and hold her until the crying stops and the pain's mostly gone, and then kiss it better and send her back out on the playground. She doesn't need me to be a father and spank her for tripping, right? She needs a mother at that moment, or he needs a mother at that moment. And perhaps mama isn't there, but I'm there. Another way one can become a mother is through the physical birthing of a child. That's just one of the descriptions of mother. So many of you sitting here today might say, well, I've never had a child. I'm not a mother. Oh, yes, you are. Created in the image and likeness of God, you're a mother. As I look around the woods right now, in the valley right now, and it's springtime, and things are growing and developing and maturing and blossoming, it makes me think of Mother Nature, which is God's creation. But why do people call it Mother Nature? Because it nurtures life. And a mother typically brings that into existence in one's life. It's the nurturing character of God that is most commonly displayed through women, though also through men. So you look around Mother Nature and go, wow, what is God doing with the planet right now? I should be doing that with the individuals in my life. I should be bringing a new season of growth and development into the lives of those around me as I'm mothering them. Okay? Mothering's not a negative term. It's a positive term. It's to build, to strengthen, to grow those around you. It's pretty exciting. In a little bit, we're going to see the little chicks begin to hatch and the little fawns begin to run around and the little elk calves begin to run around. And if you bait bears, you get to see the cute little cubbies come in that weigh about 12 pounds. And if they eat enough gummy bears, they'll weigh 15 by the end of June. But life is growing and developing and happening. And the core characteristic of mother, according to the dictionary, is to do that. To promote life. So you and I should be promoting life. If we think about what else is a mother, well, they cook and they clean and they work. They mow lawns, they do dishes, they sew clothing. They pay sports fees. They pack lunches. They drive kids all around town. They run errands. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So today we're going to be talking about the many hats that mothers wear. Okay? Because mothers wear a lot of hats. I now have my river hat. Because it shields me from the sun. It protects me. Mothers have some protecting internal instinct inside of them. They want to protect their children. Right? Go slap one of my kids and see what happens. I don't recommend it for any one of you, but try it. You'll see Mama Bear. And that probably goes for any one of you. But other than just being a physical mother, we need some spiritual mothers that will look out for the spiritual welfare of the children of our community. Not just our church body, but of our community. Who's looking out into the community saying, who needs help? Who needs a friend? Who needs someone to love them? Who needs someone to care for them? Who needs someone just to pray for them by name? You may never engage in a relationship with the individual, but you just pray for them. How powerful would that be if we just prayed for the young people of our community, of our nation? Our world is in desperate need of mothers. Desperate need of real, godly mothers. Not more people to give birth to children. We need more mothers. We need more mothers. According to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Is it okay if we put on another hat? This is my beach hat. Goes good with a Speedo. Just making sure you're all awake today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through the first part of 8. I'm going to insert mother instead of love. Who mother is. Mother is patient. She is kind. She does not envy. She does not boast. She is not proud. She does not dishonor others. She is not self-seeking. She is not easily angered. She keeps no record of wrongs. She does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. She always protects. She always trusts. She always hopes. She always perseveres. She never fails. Another hat that mama wears, that mothers should wear, is love. A hat that a lot of mothers don't wear today because they're focused on themselves and what they're doing or what they want to be doing instead of raising their children, instead of nurturing life in the next generation. Not just to survive, but to produce life in children. That's real mothering. Mothers experience a lot of hardship, or can experience a lot of hardship. This is my rodeo clown hat. Mothers wear a lot of hats. Do you know that? They're not like pastors. They have to work more than 20 minutes a week. Mothers wear a lot of hats, and they can endure a lot of hardship in the road of life. And it's not because they're bad people. It's not because they're bad mothers. It's not because they're living in sin. It's because of this verse right here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Just after the fall of man, for man and woman. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to your children. Can any of the ladies attest to that? Yeah. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So it's simply the punishment for sin. It's simply because we live in a fallen, sinful world that we have hardship. And the Bible doesn't hide that from us. It says you will have trials, you will have troubles, you will experience hardship. But do not lose heart, for I, Jesus Christ, have overcome the world. He says we'll experience it. So knowing that we're going to experience it, what can we do as men to support women or mothers? Well, the Bible, most of us like, or not most of us here, but the world likes to get hung on the second part of this verse. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Or some versions say he will lord over you, which means I get to tell my wife to do whatever I want whenever I want, right? And she has to obey me. Right? Glad I have on my rodeo clown hat today. But when I think about my Lord, Jesus Christ, and what he did for me, he gave up his life for me. He left his place of comfort and authority in heaven and got down into my world to show his love for me. So as men, to lord over your wife means you get to leave the things you want to do, your comfort and security and pleasures, get down into your wife's world or a mother's world and die for them. Doesn't that sound like fun? But to lord over them means to protect them, to provide for them, to look out for their best interest, to have them in mind. And we see this all throughout the generations and throughout the world, that women have been mistreated over and over, and still in China today, or in a lot of the country, if you're born a female child, you're often set out on the street. You're put out with the trash. Women over the years have been treated as less than dogs, have been treated as physical property. It's been abused. It's been misused. We are supposed to lord over them, as in care for them and meet their needs and protect and provide for them. That's what mothers need alongside of them. Not someone holding their thumb on them, but someone looking after them, showing them love and compassion, showing them kindness, showing them gentleness, showing them meekness. That's according to the Bible. If we think about the experiences that women have faced over the generations, it's frightening. It's scary. But what can we do about that moving forward? How can we engage? In Genesis 2, verse 20, we're not going to look at it. You can if you want. But God's just created all the animals of the garden, and He says, there's no suitable helper found. So then He puts Adam into sleep. He goes and takes a nap. Now I have my VBS fun hat on. He takes a rib from Adam and He forms a woman out of it. So this is a suitable helper for man. Mothers or women are suitable helpers, which doesn't mean they're under our foot or under our thumb. Your helper's your right-hand man, right? Should be right beside you. Men and women complete each other, both in a marital relationship, in society, in raising up. Today we're talking about mothers, so in raising up young or children, and growing and developing them, and shaping them and molding them, they need some mothering. They need some protecting. They need some shaping and forming. Mothers experience many difficult decisions in their lives. There was this king named Solomon, and one day these two prostitutes come into his courtroom. And they're arguing, and the one says, "My Lord, just the other day I had a baby. And I lived with this woman, and 3 days later she had a baby. And then during the night she lay on her child and killed him. But also during the night she took my living baby and brought it to bed with her and put her dead baby in bed with me. And when I awoke to feed my baby, I noticed it was dead. And when I looked at it closely in the light, I realized it was not my child. She's taken my baby. Please return it." And of course the other woman says, "No. Mine is the living child, yours is the dead child." And this goes on for a little bit, and finally the king says, "Okay, bring me a sword." He tells his servant, "Cut the baby in half, the living child. Give half to each mother." And of course the real mother steps in and goes, "No! Just give her the child so that it may live." And the other mother says, "No, cut it in two so that neither one of us can have a child." King Solomon, in all of his wisdom, recognizes that the real mother is willing to give up her child that it may live. And the false mother just says, "Kill it anyway." Mothers have to make tough decisions like this in their lives. Life-changing, life-altering, but a mother's love is for her child. And whatever it takes, some mothers have had to give up their children for adoption or lost them in miscarriages or maybe even had abortions for I don't know what reasons. They don't need condemnation and judgment. They need love. They need compassion because you don't know the backstory. We could look here and say, "Well, they were prostitutes anyways. Who cares, right?" No. God still loves them, so I should love them. And we can look around us and we could point fingers in judgment and, "Well, you did this or you did that," or, "Why would you ever give up your child?" Well, you don't know that if I didn't give up my child, the king was going to cut it in half. You don't know people's stories. Mothers have experiences and they have stories. And they make the best decisions they can in the situation they're in the moment they're in. And you can't judge them for that. But you can love them unconditionally and let them know that there's a God in heaven that loves them unconditionally. And if they'll give their life to Him, He has a hope and a future and eternity available to them. But we don't know the hardships a woman has faced, a mother has faced, a man has faced. But we do know that God's Word says to love them. To love them. Another mother story from the Bible. Baby Moses. His mother gets married, realizes she becomes pregnant. At that time, there was a decree in the land. All Hebrew males born shall be put to death. Moses' mother hides her pregnancy, conceals the child until he's about 3 months old, until she can no longer contain him. What does she do? She essentially aborts the child. She puts him in a basket, puts him onto the Nile River, full of alligators and hippos, and pushes him off. How heart-wrenching that must have been for his mother that day. But if I keep him, he'll surely die. But if I send him, there might be a chance that he would live. And so she sends his older sister along the bank to try to keep track of the basket, to try to follow it. And the Clearwater is a pretty big river right now, but it doesn't compare to the Nile. Not even close. Also putting her daughter in jeopardy or in risk. But she follows it a ways, and pretty soon the Pharaoh's daughter is out there bathing in the river. Her servants are around her. She notices the basket in the river. Says, "Hey, would you bring that to me?" They open it up and the baby is crying inside. She has compassion inside of her heart. Says, "Bring the child to me." Meanwhile, Moses' sister is watching from the bank. She comes over and says, "My Lord, would you have me find a Hebrew mother to nurse your child? Or to nurse the child for you?" I should probably put a new hat on, huh? You're tired of looking at that one, right? So she goes and she finds who but Moses' own mother to care for, to raise the child, until the princess is ready to take him into the palace and train him as an Egyptian. God knows the situation, the circumstance you're in, and He can turn tragedy into anything He wants. He can give back to you that which has been taken. He redeemed and restored so that she could raise her own son, and eventually Moses would become the deliverer of the Israelites from Egypt, taking them through the Red Sea, leading them toward the Promised Land. But we don't know what God's plans are, but we know if we trust in Him, if we're faithful to Him, He can move mountains for us. He can open up the Red Sea and we can cross on dry land. He can bring your children back to you, even though it seems as though they've been lost. He can bring society back to Him, even though it may seem as though society's been lost. But it's going to take some mothering on our part to care for, to meet the needs of those in our community. I do several things every week to get out into our community with the young of our community. I do an open gym. Go play basketball with a bunch of young men and women just to mother them, just to be in their lives, to hear their stories, to hear their struggles, to speak life into them. I help coach a Babe Ruth baseball team just so I can get involved in the lives of those young men and women, so that I can speak truth into their lives. Just the other day at practice, they were talking, and I could hear them talking, and one of them said some words he probably shouldn't have been sharing. And the other kid goes, "Shh, he's a pastor." And the other kid goes, "Well, what's a pastor?" So he's trying to explain to him, and finally he goes, "Aren't they supposed to be black?" And about then, I said, "Well, no, they don't have to be." And he's like, "Oh, you heard us?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, then he asked me, "Well, what's a pastor?" And so I got to share with him. I'm like, "No, they don't have to be black." He goes, "Oh, well, all the ones I see on movies are black." So still in our area, there are young men and women that have no idea about God or His Word or church. And he's like, "Well, tell me something Jesus or Bible or something." I said, "Well, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that we could have everlasting life if we receive Him as our Lord and Savior." And that was kind of the end of our conversation at that point. But if I hadn't been at practice, I wouldn't have had that door into his life to speak that. And I'm working on my tan, but I thought later I should have told him, "Well, I'm just a white belt pastor." But there are people out there that still have no idea who Jesus is, no idea about God's Word or the truth that's in it. And they need a little bit of mothering from us, the body of Christ, not just the Life Center, but from worldwide, the body of Christ. They need some love. They need some compassion. They need some nurturing, so that life, spiritual life, can begin to grow. And they can be baptized right here, or in the river, or a creek, or a pond, and begin following Jesus Christ with their whole heart, their whole life. So mothers experience loss. They experience reconnection. They experience sorrow. They experience joy. And it's just part of life. And we've got to love them where they're at. Because some days are dark for a mother. Some days are bright for a mother. But we've just got to get through it one day at a time. We've got to love, embrace, and serve mothers. Exodus 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Do you want to live long in the land? Honor your father and mother. And this isn't just for juvenile children. This is my favorite hat. This is my comfy hat. This is my lucky hat. Mothers wear a lot of hats, and they wear a lot of hats every day. Sometimes it's pretty easy for a man to go to work and just be a construction worker, just do one thing all day. Mama's got they got 10 plates juggling all the time. "I got to do this so I can do that, so I can get that done. When this gets done, that has to be done." You've probably seen those little Facebook things where it's like a man's brain, and he has like one bubble out here. And it shows a woman's brain. It's like a spider web of bubbles. And they're like spinning circles inside of circles. God's just wired us differently. Yes, He did. Absolutely. So honor your father and mother. I remember one time as a small child, it's probably 7, 6, somewhere in there, my mom thought I dishonored her. It did not go well for me. I think I was beat within an inch of my life. It wasn't that bad, but we'd been down. We were supposed to take back to the creek the frogs and snakes we had caught and release them. And my friend that was with me, we were on the bridge releasing them, and he drops my mom's Tupperware bowl in the creek on purpose, accident. He goes, oops, now we have to go get it. So we both jump back in the creek, and we're supposed to be going to church in 10 minutes. So we get back up to the house, and my mom is hot. On fire, hot. Just come into the back room. Nope, leave your wet clothes on. And she paddled my butt. And she said, have you had enough? And I said, yeah. And she thought I said, nah. I learned to let your yes be yes and your no be no after that. Because she tanned my hide. Love you, Mom. It's Mother's Day, right? You got Mother's Day stories. But honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. You will live a long life. Mothers need love, encouraged, supported. We're going to jump into Proverbs chapter 31. Ooh, yeah, ooh. Verses 10 through 31. This is a lot of reading, but this is kind of all the hats that a woman wears day in, day out, or women in general wear, mothers wear. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. What a woman. Wow. A godly woman. If you want to know what you should be doing, just pick one or two of those things. Exactly. Just pick one or two from that list. If you want to keep improving, add one or two to your list. But women wear many hats. Mothers wear many hats. They should be honored and praised for their good work, for their good deeds. We're going to take a look at a video here.
It started to happen gradually. I was She wrote, "With admiration for the greatness of what you are building when no one sees. You can't name the names of the people who built the great cathedrals. Over and over again, looking at these mammoth works, you scan down to find the names, and it says, builder, unknown, unknown, unknown. They completed things not knowing that anyone would notice. There's a story about one of the builders who was carving a tiny bird inside a beam that would be covered over by a roof. And someone came up to him and said, why are you spending so much time on something no one will ever see? And it's reported that the builder replied, because God sees. They trusted that God saw everything. They gave their whole lives for a work, a mammoth work, they would never see finished. They showed up day after day. Some of these cathedrals took over 100 years to build. That was more than one working man's lifetime. Day after day. And they made personal sacrifices for no credit. Showing up at a job they would never see finished, for a building their name would never be on. One writer even goes so far as to say, no great cathedrals will ever be built again because so few people are willing to sacrifice to that degree. I closed the book, and it was as if I heard God say, I see you. You are not invisible to me. No sacrifice is too small for me to notice. I see every cupcake baked, every sequin sewn on, and I smile over everyone. I see every tear of disappointment when things don't go the way you want them to go. But remember, you are building a great cathedral. It will not be finished in your lifetime, and sadly, you will never get to live there. But if you build it well, I will. At times, my invisibility has felt like an affliction to me, but it is not the disease that is erasing my life. It is the cure for the disease of self-centeredness. It is the antidote to my own pride. It's okay that they don't see. It's okay that they don't know. I don't want my son to tell a friend he's bringing home from college, you're not going to believe what my mom does. She gets up at 4 in the morning and she makes pies and hand bakes a turkey and she presses all the linens. Even if I do all those things, I don't want him to say that. I want him to want to come home. And secondly, I want him to say to his friend, you're going to love it there. It's okay that they don't see. We don't work for them. We work for him. We sacrifice for him. They will never see, not if we do it right, not if we do it well. Let's pray that our work will stand as a monument to an even greater God.
Mothers experience one of the highest callings that you can receive, to raise up the next generation, to train and develop children to be the great cathedrals of our communities, of our schools, of our country, of our world, not as buildings, but as pillars in their churches, in their communities, wherever they are in the workplace. And a lot of what a mother does is behind the scenes. And you don't see the 3 loads of laundry she just did because 3 more just came in. And you don't see the dishes she just washed because 5 more dirty plates just hit the counter. Mothers do a lot of behind the scenes work, and they don't do it for credit. They do it because they're mothers. Our world could use a lot more mothering in it. And we get the opportunity to help shape, build, and form the next cathedrals, our young men and women, the next generation. But will you do your part in mothering? It takes time, it takes energy. I don't really have 15 extra hours every week to go coach baseball, to play basketball. It takes time out of my schedule, takes time away from my family. But it allows me opportunity to speak into the lives, to mother other kids who aren't getting that at home. Go build a great cathedral. Carve a bird that no one will ever see. But God alone sees your efforts. God alone sees what you're doing. God alone sees. I had one more hat to put on. This is my softball hat. God alone sees your efforts, your energies. Mothers are amazing. You don't have to give birth to be a mother. Remember that today. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for the mothers real quick and then we'll close. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the gift of mothers. God, that you've sent since the beginning of time, God, you gave Eve to the earth, the mother of all living. God, we just thank you for their nature, God, of nurturing, of creating life, of giving love and compassion, tenderness and care, Lord God. Father, we thank you for that. And God, I know many, God, women around here, God, not just in our church body, but around the valley, God, they've had some horrific experiences in life, Lord God. And I just ask that you would meet them where they're at, Lord God, that you would bring, God, love and compassion into their lives, into their situations. God, that you would bring restoration and healing to those who have been brokenhearted, who have been damaged, God, who have been afflicted. God, that you would bring health and restoration to them, Lord God. And Father, that you would just bring to light, God, your love for them. God, if they haven't met you yet, that you would send somebody in their path, God, that would speak your truth, God, of your love for them, God, of your salvation available to them, Lord God. And Father, I ask your blessing upon each and every mother here, God. God, that you would give them the joy of the Lord. God, that you would give them a heart of worship for you. God, that you would give them strength and ability to carry out that which you've set before them. And God, that you would cultivate inside each one of us, God, a greater, God, mothering instinct to care for those around us, to build those around us, to grow and develop those around us, Lord God, for your glory. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm Wayne today.